Section 7. Weighing the Evidence. Luke's wanton fabrications, including his use of Josephus to make his story seem more historically informed, and his complete rewrite of history to reverse the facts reported directly by Paul, and his overt attempts to make his books look like histories, for example, adding such embellishments as Luke 1 verses 1 to 4, Luke 2 verses 1 to 2, and 3 verses 1 to 2, pretty much established that he is not honestly reporting the facts as he knows them. He is trying to create facts and sell them as the truth. This makes it impossible for us to know if Luke was a historicist himself or merely trying to sell a historicist creed. But either way, we cannot use Acts as evidence for historicity, for anything in it will have been designed to convince us of historicity, with no assurance of any real basis in fact, and abundant reason to doubt there is any. But a text specifically fabricated to convince us of historicity, such as this, can give us evidence of myth if material in it doesn't make sense otherwise. The evidence in that case has slipped through, against what Luke obviously would have wanted, but due most likely to his not being able to think of everything, as most authors don't. After all, as the ubiquity of implausible novels and film scripts today well enough attests, even the smartest of people don't consistently compose realistic narratives or realize the holes in the plots they've contrived. If Acts is a wholesale fabrication, however, written in total ignorance of what may have actually happened, then Acts might afford no evidence for either historicity or myth. Its historical value either way could then be simply nil. So its effect on the probability of historicity depends on whether we conclude Acts was composed in total ignorance of what may have actually happened, or with some awareness of what actually happened during the first years and decades of Christianity, and thus has been at least partly influenced by that information. As I argued after discussing the trial transcripts and the vanishing Acts, I think it's unlikely the author of Acts had no information. His having some better explains the oddities I document. I will therefore assume he did, that the probability of this approaches 100%, close enough not to have to consider the alternative mathematically. But you may have a different view, believing it more likely that Acts was written in total ignorance, in which case you have a harder mathematical task ahead of you. Setting that aside, tabulating my previous estimates so you can substitute your own, we get the following ratios between the consequent probability that Acts would look like it does if minimal historicity is true, and the consequent probability that Acts would look like it does if minimal historicity is false. For the vanishing family and so on, best case, 4 to 5, worst case, 2 to 5. Omissions in Paul's trials, best case, 9 to 10, worst case, 1 to 2. The remainder of Acts, 100% expected either way. Conversely, nothing in Acts is unexpected on minimal mythicism, as on that account, anything historicizing in it is a mythical invention of Luke's, and we've proved Luke was doing that a lot. While the omissions and vanishing Acts would be the inevitable result of there being no historical Jesus. So the same consequent probabilities on non-historicity can be treated as all 100% across the board. And even if not, if instead we set this probability at less than 100%, it doesn't matter since the ratio of the two probabilities will remain the same. That leaves the probability of Acts looking this way on historicity equal to 72% at best and 20% at worst. The content of Acts is therefore evidence against the historicity of Jesus.